Dear Heavenly Father, you say to us in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, "But thanks be to God, who in Christ always leads us in triumphal procession, and through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of him everywhere." Lord, we want to be people who spread Jesus. When we think about our children, when we think about our families, our community, and our world, we pray that they may take the best things from us rather than the worst things. We pray that today, as we read your word, that you might encourage us about what you are doing in the world and how we might get on board with it. And Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, whenever something bad is spreading, the question in our news is always the same. They're always asking, who started it? Where did that come from? Who was patient zero in the outbreak? When COVID came to our shores 5-6 years ago, people were speculating, was it a leak from a bioweapons lab? Or was it just some Chinese guy who liked to eat bats? When racial hatred spread on social media, whether it's against Jews or Muslims or whoever, we want to know who are the masterminds behind this and who are the influencers who are spreading it. And then when you go into your kitchen and there are ants all over your surfaces, you want to know, okay, who let out the lollies, right? Who spilt the honey and didn't clean it up? Who started it? And the same question can be asked for the topic of sin. You know, where do you think sin came from? There are a lot of bad people in our world, a lot of bad people doing bad things. Is there a patient zero for sin? Some people might give you different answers to that. Some people might say, no, we're not born evil. People are born good. It's just society that makes us evil. Society spreads sin. But there's a massive elephant in the room when it comes to a statement like that, isn't it? Because isn't society made up of people? Right? Where did the evil in society come from then? Some religions might say it's not us who do evil, it's evil powers, it's demons and spirits. This is people who say the devil made me do it. This was actually used as a legal defense in a stabbing murder in the 1980s. It was also used by a South African cricketer in a gambling scandal. Other people might blame God if we do bad things. They might say, well, you know, if God is in control of everything, then when we do bad things, it's his fault, not ours. They make God the author of evil. But when you look at the Bible, when you look at God's word, God has a very different explanation of sin and a very different reason for showing us the source of sin. Often we want to know patient zero, we want to know who started it, mainly because we want someone to blame, right? We want to know who the bad guy is, and we want to feel good that it wasn't us. But in our passage today, God is going to show us the patient zero of sin, not to blame anyone, and not to make us feel proud, but instead he does it so that we will feel sorry for our sins. And even more, God does it so that we will be driven to the patient zero of grace, the one who will save us from our sins. And that's what we're going to see in the second half of Romans chapter 5. Now, last week we did the first half of Romans 5. We saw what the Christian boast was. Christians have a message that they're not ashamed of. We have a message that we want to put out to the world, and this is the message of Jesus. The message that God loves us and sent Jesus to die for us, and that Jesus is bringing in a new creation without sin or suffering or death, without mourning or crying or pain. We heard that we can speak this message, we can boast of this message with confidence, because we know that God loves us and finishes what he starts. And this week, what we're going to hear is further reason for this confidence in the message of Jesus. It's another reason that we can be bold as we proclaim Jesus and trust in Jesus, and it's because Jesus is the source and the spread of God's grace all around the world. But before we get there, we first hear about the opposite. We first hear about the source and spread of sin, and that is in verses 12 to 14. Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. For sin indeed was in the world before the law was given. but sin is not counted where there is no law. Yet death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those whose sinning was not like the transgression of Adam, who was a type of the one who was to come. This little bit of the passage talks about the spread of sin and talks about the law. And so first notice what it tells us about the source of sin, the all sin and fall short of the glory of God. Right? The passage doesn't say it's God, doesn't say it's the devil. It says sin came into the world through one man, verse 12. It's talking about Adam here, the first human being who committed that first sin against God. He ate the fruit of the tree that God told him not to eat. The devil might have tempted him to sin. God might have allowed him to sin. But in the end, the choice was his. The sin was his. Sin came into the world through one man. This is the Christian doctrine that we know as original sin, the idea that Adam's sin has spread to us. There are many dubious honors in the world, things that you don't really want to be the best at. You don't really want to be first at. Did you know that the country Spain leads the world when it comes to baldness? It is the best country in the world in soccer. It is also the best country in the world at being bald. You know, you don't really want that honor, do you? Right? It's the same with Adam, the first sinner. Adam has the dubious honor of being the source of sin. Notice what this passage tells us about the spread of sin. Now, verse 12, again, it says that death spread to all men because all sinned. Now, the Greek word there for men means both men and women, so all of us are equally sinners before God. But the idea is that Adam was the first human being. We are all descended from him. And so Adam's sin has spread to all his descendants. It'd be wrong to call sin a genetic disorder. That would imply that we could find the gene that causes us to sin and remove it. We can't do that, as good as that would be. But maybe we could say that sin is in our spiritual genes. Ignoring God, rejecting God, it spreads like a spiritual disease from generation to generation. I am like my dad in many ways. I share his strengths. I am pretty good with numbers. I have a decent memory. I am loyal to my family. I share his weaknesses. I don't like new things. I am not particularly socially aware. But most of all, from this passage, I am like my dad in that I am a sinner like he is. And most of us would be able to say the same thing about our parents as well, right? Sin has spread from them to us. It has spread in the thousands of generations of people that have come between Adam and us. And it's not just sin that spreads, but also death. Verse 12 as well, right? Death is God's punishment for sin. But death is also the natural consequence of sin. If you don't want God in your life, if you think you can do life on your own without God, well, God will eventually let you do that. But because God is the source of life, because God is the source of all good things, when you remove yourself from God, you are also removing yourself from life. You don't get one and not the other. And that's why we all die, because we all sin and run away from God. Sin has spread from Adam to us, and death has spread from Adam to us. And then finally, notice the relationship between law and sin. Some people, you might ask them, like, do you think you're a sinner? And they might answer, well, you know, I haven't broken any laws, so I must not be a sinner. But notice in this passage, it says in verse 13, for sin indeed was in the world before the law was given. Right, so Adam was there at creation. God gave the law to his people through Moses. That was like 1,500 years after Adam. Do not murder, do not steal, do not commit adultery, that kind of thing. But for those 1,500 years before the law, it's not like people didn't sin. They still did, right? Like they still ignored God. They still killed and stole and cheated one another. They still had the heart of sin. And that's what verse 14 is talking about. It's talking about people who sinned in a different way from Adam because God gave Adam a command. Adam disobeyed it. The people after Adam, God didn't give them specific commands, but they still sinned in their hearts. And so what the law did when it came 1,500 years later is that it exposed this sin. It's kind of like a diagnostic test, right? If you have a problem with your heart and you get an echocardiogram, the echo doesn't give you the disease. What it does is it shows the disease that is already there. And once it's been shown, once the test has been done, that is now counted to you. It's on record now that you have a heart problem. And God is saying in this passage that that is what his law does. It's what his commandments do. It shows the sin that is already there. And then verse 13, now sin is counted to us. It is on record that we are sinners. And so when the Bible talks about things like greed or injustice or neglecting the worship of God, we are meant to think to ourselves, yeah, that is me. And even when the Bible talks about things like murder or stealing or adultery, we are meant to think, you know, yeah, I might not have done exactly that, but I have done it in my heart. Because the law exposes the sin that is already there. And the Apostle Paul, the writer of the book of Romans, is saying to us that this is human history up until Jesus Christ. Right? This is what the world has been like ever since Adam. It's a world where that original sin has spread from generation to generation. And we might blame Adam for all this. You know, what a jerk. You know, great job, Adam. Thanks for nothing. But before we do that, we should think to ourselves, look, if I was in his position, I would have done exactly the same thing. That is the source and the spread of sin. Now, at this point, we could ask the question, look, who's going to stop the spread of sin? Or what can we do to stop it? And I think if you ask most people in the world, they would answer, well, we can stop the spread of sin. We can stop the hate, the injustice, the oppression. We can stop it by being good. We can spread kindness instead. And don't get me wrong, right? It is better for people to be kind than unkind. I would much rather that. And it's also true that to a certain extent, kindness is contagious, right? If you're not a jerk to people, it increases the chances that they won't be jerks to other people as well. But at the same time, sin is still going to spread. Right? Even if we are nice, it won't get us closer to God. Nice people just end up committing other kinds of sins. We are all in Adam. We can't escape that original sin. We can't help but spread sin. Sin will always win. In the Bible, never does it say that good deeds or being kind will overcome sin. Never does it say that there are these scales, these balances, and that our good deeds can outweigh our bad deeds. The world doesn't work that way. But the Bible does say that there is a thing that can stop the spread of sin. It can stop it dead in its tracks. But it will take a man who is free from the sin of Adam, a man who had God's Holy Spirit in him even before he was born, a man who is fully man and fully God. It takes Jesus, because he is patient zero for the source and spread of grace. And that's what we see in verses 15 and 21. But the free gift is not like the trespass. For if many died through one man's trespass, much more have the grace of God and the free gift by the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many. And the free gift is not like the result of that one man's sin. For the judgment following one trespass brought condemnation, but free gift following many trespasses brought justification. For if, because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation for all men, so one act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men. For as by the one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience the many will be made righteous. Now the law came to increase the trespass, but where sin increased, grace abounded all the more, so that as sin reigned in death, grace also might reign through righteousness, leading to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, what is grace in this passage? Well, grace is an undeserved kindness. It's getting something good that you don't deserve. In the Bible, God is gracious. It is his character to be gracious. He gives sinners what they do not deserve. And the biggest grace that God gives us is he sends his son Jesus to die on the cross for our sins, to forgive us of our sins and make us right with God. That is the grace, that is the gift that's being talked about here. And when we read this passage, it might be easier to say that, well, just like Adam is the source and spread of sin, Jesus is the source and spread of grace, right? They're two sides of the same coin. They are like each other. But that's not the point of this passage, is it? Because the passage takes a lot of effort to show that Adam and Jesus are not like each other. Right? Verse 15, it says, "For the free gift is not like the trespass." And it's saying that there because Jesus is not like Adam because his grace is more abundant than sin. It's more powerful than sin. Grace outweighs sin. And that's what it means when it says, "For if many died through that one man's trespass, much more have the grace of God and the free gift by the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many." Much more. Jesus' grace is abounding more than sin. Do you ever worry that your sin is too great? Do you ever worry maybe that you have been trapped and stuck in sin and that nothing can take it away from you, that you're going to face God and God is going to judge you and punish you forever? Well, God says here that there is a power that is greater than sin. And that is what Jesus has done for you. His death on the cross can wipe your sin away, and it is a free gift, and all you have to do is receive it. The gift of Jesus is more abundant, more powerful than sin. And then verse 16, the other way that Jesus is not like Adam, the free gift is not like the result of the one man's sin. Jesus is not like Adam because he brings something different. Verse 16, you see Adam brought condemnation. Verse 17, he brings death. Verse 18, he brings condemnation again. Verse 19, he makes everyone sinners. He spreads sin. But then look at what Jesus brings. Verse 16, it says that he brings justification. That means that he makes us righteous. He makes us right with God. Jesus lived a completely righteous life when he was on this earth. And when he died for us, he takes our sin on himself and he gives his righteousness to us. It's like Jesus' righteousness is like the coat that covers over our sin so that we are acceptable to God. And then verse 17, you see that Jesus brings life because we're right with God, because our sins are dealt with, we can be sure that we will have eternal life with God. We have life forever in God's perfect place. And verse 18 repeats this. Jesus brings justification and life for all people, for everyone who has faith in Jesus. And then verse 19 also, Jesus makes the many righteous. And so you see how Jesus is different from Adam. And you see what Jesus is spreading as well. This is what happens every time someone spreads the good news of Jesus. Every time someone believes in Jesus, they go from sin to grace. They go from death to life. They go from hell to heaven. Jesus is the source and the spread of this kind of grace. Now, what are some takeaways for our church from this passage? Well, I have a few things for us. First one is that Christians, therefore, can have hope for ourselves, for our church, and for the world. It's easy when looking at the world to think that the spread of sin is unstoppable, right? It's easy to think, well, people are becoming more and more corrupt. People are becoming more and more self-centered, more and more hateful. Our world itself is becoming more and more polluted, more and more dangerous, more and more depressing. It's easy to lose hope in humanity, to lose your joy, to get all cynical, maybe to just give up on trying to live a good life. But Christians don't see the world that way. They look at Jesus what he's done on the cross. They look at that supreme act of love and grace. They look at what Jesus has done in their own lives. And they see that this is going to happen to the world in the future when Jesus will make everything right with him. And that's why we have hope. We have hope that God's grace will change us. It will transform us to be more like Jesus. We have hope that God's grace will work in others, that Jesus will save some and bring them into his people. And we have hope that God's grace will work on his creation, that this world is going to be renewed like we will be. Christians can look at this world and still have joy because we know that around the world, Jesus is spreading his grace. And then I think second lesson that we can take away is being super spreaders of grace. I think the purpose of a passage like this is to put us on the spot and ask us, what do you want to be spreading? You know, do you want to be part of the spread of sin or part of the spread of grace? Do you want to be in Adam or do you want to be in the Lord Jesus Christ? It's one of the great privileges of being a Christian that God uses his people to spread his grace all over the world. And we see this in many different ways. We see this in missionaries like Dan and Mel, like Joel and Tiff, like Joyce and Paul, who go all over the world to share Jesus with people who have never heard of him. We see this when faithful Christian brothers and sisters contend for the faith on YouTube and social media. But we also see this in our church. When people open up the Bible, when they do it one-to-one or in their family, small groups or in Sunday church, and we hear again and again that gospel of Jesus. And every time we do this, sin is turned back. The disobedience of is reversed. And people are brought more and more in line with God's love and plan for our lives. And that's what we're trying to be here at Cross Life Church. We're trying to be a community of compassionate and confident disciple makers. We're trying to see people saved by the cross and shaped by the cross. All of that is another way of saying that we want to see grace abound in our lives and in the lives of others. And so can I encourage you to be a super spreader of grace in your families, in your friendship groups, in your workplaces, in your local community, to make it your mission to see that as many people receive the grace of Jesus as possible. Be a super spreader of grace. For our passage today, we've seen that Adam was the patient zero of sin. Adam was the source of the spread of sin. But I hope you also noticed that the majority of our passage today wasn't really focused on Adam. It was focused on Jesus, right? The key message was not sin is spreading. The key message was actually that grace is spreading. Grace will abound for many. There will be justification and life for all men. The many will be made righteous, right? The key message today is not the patient zero of sin, but the patient zero of grace. And how Jesus gives us hope and drive to get on board with what God is doing, to be included in Christ, and to be spreaders of grace along with him. Let me pray that we will. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that while before we were all in Adam, that we were recipients and we had been affected by his sin, that we were people who were facing death because of our sin. We thank you that you sent your son Jesus into the world to bring grace to your people. Thank you that all over the world now, Jesus is spreading his grace, that the gospel is going out, that people are receiving it. And Lord, we pray that as a church, we may be people who spread that aroma of our Lord Jesus Christ as well. We pray that through our words and our deeds, people will catch a glimpse of who Jesus is and what he's done for them. And we pray that many people, through what we do, will come to accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior, to know your great love for them, that you sent your son Jesus to die for them, and to be transformed by your grace to become more and more like the Lord Jesus. Lord, we pray that the spread of sin may be turned back. We pray that the disobedience of Adam may be reversed. And we pray that people may be included in your new people under the headship of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen.